All right, welcome to Advice. Today we have a guest, Delanor Troop.
Correct.
Emron Virtual Solutions. With me is also Dave Teller, Director of Digital Marketing. I'm your host, Josh Mangum. Today we're going to be looking into your business, Emron Virtual Solutions. Tell us real quick, what is Emron Virtual Solutions?
So Emron Virtual Solutions, just to bring up the name, it's my daughter's name. We dedicated the company to our daughter. We had a stillborn at 27 weeks in 2023, so we decided to keep her name alive by dedicating the company to her. And it was a unique proposition because the name means so much more. It means God is with me. So we wanted to keep that alive and everything. But what we do is we digitize spaces. We bring facilities to their clients or to our clients for whatever they need. It can be from a retail space where they don't have a lot of visibility. Their Google business profile page is not working as well. So people can put a 360 tour on that. Or it's for architects, engineers, where we give them CAD files, floor plans, and all of that other stuff. So
yeah,
it's digitizing the real world into, you know, digital spaces.
Okay. So we've had 360 tours have been around for a long time.
Correct.
Is that what you're doing or is this a lot different?
So actually ours is a little bit more advanced. So a 360 tour is where anybody can pull out their phone, anybody can just get a camera and stand and turn in a circle and it's just a 360 image. What ours is doing is utilizing LiDAR, light detection and ranging. So it's LiDAR at the base model, kind of like Bitcoin with, you know, their, what is it called? The blockchain. It's like Bitcoin, but blockchain is the bottom, what it's built off of. Well, LiDAR is what these 360 tours are built off of. And then you're keeping a sweep point with the 360 image to make it look more realistic because LiDAR looks like clay. Meaning if I took a scan of this room and I gave you just a LiDAR model, it will look a little clayish and you won't be like, I don't need that. So we, Matterport and some of these companies have found a way to merge the 360 image on top of the LiDAR to make it more retail user friendly. So,
okay. So for the layman, we're using LiDAR, which is really cool. I sometimes stay up way too late at night watching these treasure hunters and they're using it to like penetrate the ground. And
Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, there we go.
Dude, Ancient Aliens.
Skywalker Ranch.
Yep.
Big fan.
Yep.
All right. So now we're using LiDAR. So we're using lasers to map out a space.
Correct.
Is it any space? Is there a limitation on size?
No. So before it used to be just interior because the sun used to mess with it, with the, you know, solar flares and certain things of that nature. And it couldn't gauge the depth of the sky. But now since you're utilizing LiDAR inside the cameras, you can go anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter. Like somebody actually just scanned the pyramids. Which was pretty cool just to see, because now you can see the whole inside of how the pyramid's chambers is functioning. And you could kind of see how they structurally built that thing for light to go in there from the natural sun.
Because
you can see the natural light just going down the hallways and corridors. So
that's cool.
That's cool.
That's we did conspiracies yesterday. We didn't talk about it.
We should talk about the pyramid.
No pyramids.
I'll send y'all the scan for it.
Okay.
It looks really
nice. All right. So we know what you're doing. Who needs this?
I don't want to specifically talk about a specific industry, but it's anybody that has issues with their processes and they're trying to streamline that. Also, any customer or, you know, a developer or any business owner that has a need for visibility to showcase their space, to make a plan together. Like imagine an architect without having a 360 tour when they're trying to renovate this building. Then the communication between us three in this room would probably be fine, but we know us three were going to walk up out of here and like telephone and say something totally different because we understood the scope of work differently.
Yeah.
Utilizing LiDAR and utilizing 360 tour, being able to tag things and put all that information into one space, you know, an ideal client would be more of like your manufacturers, your architects and engineers, retail spaces that's having issues with their Google business profile page because Google now allows us to put the 360 tours on there.
Right.
So, you know, anybody that's trying to get full visibility.
Then venues would be good. So yeah, I mean, think about how virtual business has become since 2020.
Correct. And it was COVID that happened. Even like in the state of Missouri, when you're building a hospital or certain things, I might be wrong on this, but this is what I've heard when we were in the industry is that, you know, you cannot have a hospital or certain things being built without having documentation from a Matterport tour or certain things, because they saw the value, you know, of being able to not have everybody at the facility at one time doing a walkthrough or all this other stuff. So it's proper documentation. So.
Okay. Yeah, I can see a lot on the real estate, the development side, manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And then just for business in general, that they need to communicate with folks about a space virtually without flying in and without having to be physically there.
Yeah, I did this. It was kind of cool one time. I worked with a developer called the P3 Group. They're a minority developer for public-private partnerships. And they were turning a old nursing home, 30,000 square foot building, to a student dorm, student housing for CR Community College. And the architect is in New Orleans. This project was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. The developer is in Memphis. Now, yes, we were close to the project, but if the architect had to keep coming up to take measurements and everything, it would take a long time. So what I did is I came in and I scanned the 30,000 square foot facility. I was walking around with the owner and the developer, which I worked for him. So I was their senior project executive. And that's how I got into this, because I have a construction background. I took all the notes and everything. I put it in a tour, I sent the tour to the architect. He called me and said, "Hey man, I just canceled my flight. I don't even have to come up there because you sent me everything that I need. And I got record and documentation that I could just point back to and just say, no, this is what you said at this time and date. This is what you want. You wanted these things. Cause you know, we can virtually do everything. And then also we can also put augmented reality on it. So, you know,
right. Put on the Oculus and you can walk through the place.
Or you could just download our app and I can scan you.
Okay.
Put you in front of this door and anybody that downloads the app can walk in and have a greeting introduction to you all the time in this space. Because we're taking, that's one thing about LiDAR, we're taking spatial data, longitude, latitude, wherever this facility is sitting on this earth, we're taking spatial data. So if I put something in this room, augmented reality, it will always stay here.
It's always here. Okay.
I got a lot of science questions, but we're not going to go into that.
We can go into
the spin of the earth.
We can go into depth, all that stuff. Yeah, right.
All right. So we have a pretty unique business solution.
Yeah.
We have a pretty wide range of application, different companies that could benefit from this. And this is where we're steering it back towards the advertising side, because that's what we want to talk about today. From a marketing and advertising side of things, what have you been doing? What has been working? What maybe are you seeing obstacles with?
Most of the things that works for us realistically is social media, because everybody's on there. And then it's a way that I can take what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. I literally, you know, that's why I got these things sitting here with me. I literally record when I'm working so I can give some behind the scenes so people can understand what it is. Because if I sit up there, just like we did in the beginning of this conversation and was asking about my ideal client, how would I get you to know actually that you're my ideal client? That's one of the hardest things is to do in our industry with this technology. This industry is only about 10 to 15 years old. So it's still fairly new. It's in its infancy business-wide and, you know, certain things. So it's like, how can I get people to understand that you actually need this? You don't want to be 5 years on down the line, be behind the, you know, eight ball. You need this today. And that's really the hard part, is explaining to museums, hey, yes, you want people to come in and actually see the actual space, but how would you like to expand their experience here? Explain it to event venues like, okay, yes, you know, one thing that we're trained as humans is don't reinvent the wheel. But one thing is that we can improve it. We can make, instead of having a wood wheel, we can have a rubber wheel, and we can have this. Well, this is kind of like improving visibility. You have pictures, you have videos. Now you have a 360 tour where the end user can be in control of it. The video is more for marketing. I'm going to pan you through here. I'm going to put some music around here. I'm going to do all these other things with it. But, you know, that's cool and everything and inspiration. But then I come to this, you know, we see it all the time with realtors. They'll put all these nice fancy videos and stuff. And then somebody comes to the space and be like, oh, I really don't like this laid out weird. Well, give them a virtual tour and let that person decide at the comfort of their home that they want to come see this, not just because you're trying to sell and advertise the house.
Right. And not just that stitched together photo it's not quite reality.
Correct.
Or it's not quite close enough to reality where I feel like I really understood what it was like to walk through that house.
And that's the thing people can do before they even go to it, because with a virtual tour, you can put a VR headset on and it puts it to scale.
I bought a house a couple of years ago, and I can tell you that would have been terrific if I could have just walked through. and seen. And I know that that might not be the perfect application here, but I'm just thinking of application.
One of my clients who had a 6,000 square foot home, and it, you know, the guy was a home builder. And so, of course, he kept adding on and doing certain things to it. And it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people would come out. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. This realtor, she was very smart. She knew that it was going to kind of cause some issues with some of the clients. So she had us come out before that, before she actually listed. Mm-hmm. And she had the Matterport on the listing. So people, it kind of weeded through people just coming in, just want to see the home. It's like they actually got true prospects coming in through the door because they saw the tour. They could hit a button and see the floor layout. They could see the dimensions of the room, all this other stuff. So now you know that they're a little bit more interested than somebody just walking in cold.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at commercial real estate right now, even in this building.
Correct.
And I can't tell you how many places, if I could have just walked through, I'd have said yes, no, right off the bat. But time is money.
And even with that, we could have a service called virtual renovations, virtual staging. I can renovate. So if you had a space, now the AI has not gotten here yet, but we have to do this manually. But we can edit that whole entire space, where it could say, hey, put a wall here, do this, do all these different things. Now you could actually see if this is going to fit before you even, you know, sign that lease or purchase that home. Or,
and that application goes way beyond the real estate side and back into the, like, commercial side.
Correct.
Because now you're talking about a, you know, 30,000 square foot warehouse. And you're like, okay, how are we going to lay this out?
That, and then also, since she's bringing up warehouses, the cool thing about utilizing our technology with them is, a lot of warehouses and places, they'll do, they want to showcase or they want to do a walk around with some of their clients. And, you know, their insurance people do not like that because it's a hazard, right? Well, now they could give a virtual tour of their facility without having putting people in hard hats if they want to, like, again, relay out certain things. And like I said earlier, we scanned the Purina plant for Nestle in Eden, North Carolina. It was an old brewery, a million square feet. Oof. Digitize this whole facility that now they can control that whole facility from their iPad because we can hook into the Internet of Things, so put sensors on certain stuff. So if a piece of equipment is overheating, they can see it. There's, you know, there's animation. Like what we do is, like, if the water is flowing this way, we'll have arrows showing that so people can walk around with our app and certain things and see, oh, this is the way the water's flowing. This is the steam. This is this. It's all, you know.
Yeah, it might be advantageous for like a process, like a line, like in manufacturing, you could see which direction things are moving and
training. So again, like a lot of times people get pigeonholed into being like, hey, we've got somebody that's here right now that knows this job and knows this building. But what if something happens to that person? Now they got to train somebody else. Well, what if instead of training, you know, somebody else cold, train them off of this tour? They can go home and watch this. They can, you know, get access to it and learn more about it.
So we've got a lot of selling points, and from what I heard from you, from a advertising perspective, the perceived need is the issue. People don't necessarily understand how much they need this and what the value is. So you're having to educate.
Correct.
You're having to get in front of the right people and educate them why they need this, because they didn't wake up this morning knowing I need this.
Correct.
Even though they do.
And it's kind of like taking. I like to say something along the lines of, taking what's in the head of the C-suite personnel or anybody in upper management operations of this facility and putting it all into one. You're actually like, it's kind of like bringing your business to life, you know, the actual business, not, hey, the individual people in there, but the actual business, all of that is into one space, and anybody can get in here and access it, you know?
I mean, you've got a couple selling points, you know, take back your time. This avoids the need for a lot of trips, a lot of flights and things like that. I imagine that this is not something that people have to do every 6 months unless the space changes.
Correct. No, even like one cool project I just did is The Hollow. It's a restaurant that just opened up on Gervais Street. They, y'all know, what is it, Wild Game? That's what they call it. Or like they have elk. They have all these fancy stuff. Well, it was cool because, you know, he actually asked me to come scan it for Halloween. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool because he's playing off the name, The Hollows. Halloween. Oh, okay. So I scanned it. And we built it out because, again, we could overlay on top of the 360 tour. So, like, again, it starts off with, like I said, with blockchain and Bitcoin. When you think of the LiDAR, the 360 image on it, and then we can add layers on top of that, overlays, which are like menus, music. Like I said, I can scan you, put you inside of there. Those are the overlays. Those are things that you can add to it to enhance it. Links connecting to the Internet of Things. Well, what we did is we built out this menu item. We built out certain things on there. Put an intro screen. We could even make it a lead form. Well, we were, you know, we just did it for Halloween and it was like, okay, it was going to be active for a month, but then we got an opportunity to put it on Google. Well, we didn't put it on his profile page because we didn't know how it was going to work. So we put it on our page just to see. And man, it's still doing numbers to this day. Cause now when you search the Holo, you see their 360 tour. It starts on Google. It's kind of cool because it starts off as an image. So it's a regular still image. And it's like, okay, anywhere, if I took four spots in this 360 spots in this room, you're going to have four images on there. But then you just hit a button, or if you're on mobile, you hit a button and it will change to a 360 tour. He's been getting thousands and thousands of views on there. That the only reason why I rescanned it two nights ago, Wednesday night, is because that was specifically branded for Halloween. We need one specifically branded for his everyday use, and we're building out the menu so you can make the reservation from the tour. You can see all the food and menu from the tour.
That's what I was gonna ask. Like, does he have like the food on like the table, and you could like walk by and be like, oh man, that.
No, actually, no. We kept the space like as if, you know, it's empty and
right,
but you will see it all in the menu. You'll click a gallery and he's like, okay, I want to see the elk Philly. Okay, go down the menu, click it, see all the different, you know, angles of it, even some videos and certain things in there. So now you can kind of get the atmosphere of the facility. You can see what they sell and you can make your reservations all within there. We actually just did this was a cool one. We did the Goldfish Swim School in Lexington this past Tuesday. They teach kids from 4 months to 12-year-olds, you know, how to swim. Nice Hawaiian, you know, colorful facility and everything like that. We did the same thing. We started off with a Matterport tour. We did some overlay and some enhancements to it with our, you know, our system and added the menu and in there. Mm-hmm. And now you can now, again, see all their pricing. You can see their facility. You can walk around. It has music and everything playing. So now you can kind of scout the facility out before you even. I've shared it with I'm in BNI, so Forest Acres Moneymakers Fam chapter, and I shared it to them just to ask for their opinions, you know, because they're business owner I want to see. And I got somebody, Brittany Whitmire, she actually was like, I just signed my kids up, and this and this and this and this, and that, you know, everybody can see it now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Yeah. You see the facility, you know what you're getting in, you see the services that they offer, you see the pricing all in one spot. Again, Miss Tiffany, who owns the facility, she, you know, she owns one up in Greenville. She can now just share the shareable link, the embed code, and everything like that. Instead of having her repeat every time that she wants to tell about the services that she has, she can give them her elevator pitch and then send them a link.
Yeah.
And now they can explain, you know, see it for themselves. So.
So you're doing BNI. How else are you finding more Miss Tiffany's right now?
Chambers events, like I'm part of the Irmo Chambers, I'm part of the Columbia Chambers. Because realistically, I've been having more success, even though we just started our marketing and everything like that. I've been having more success with being able to sit here and explain it to people.
Right.
Being able to, you know, showing them like, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, until it becomes a more common use household name or household service that people are used to. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to brand ourselves to become that trusted brand in this industry. Cause it's kind of like the Wild Wild West, you know, we don't have any proprietary things. Our proprietary is our intellectual property of how we do things with it. You know, that's the only thing, but anybody can buy an iPhone or buy a camera and start doing this, but they wouldn't do it correctly. Like I've had some friends, you know, I'm not making fun of them, but like, a friend, Matt Hall, he works for Kingsley Restoration. We've been trying to set up a partnership. They bought a camera and they did one. And he came to me, he's like, this thing is all messed up. I thought this would be easy. I'm like, yep. And I took his iPad and I fixed it all for him. He's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, you know, that's because I know
that's what I do.
Right. This is what I do. Anybody can, it's like, it's, I have a good friend, Staber Studio Photography. She says it all the time. Anybody can take a picture, but it's the person behind that camera. That's really, you know.
So you run into a dual issue of not only is what you're doing very, very new with the LiDAR and everything like that, And then the other insidious part is you're having to explain to them why it's different and better than 360 tours, which people can wrap their heads around.
Correct.
So people think, oh, virtual tours, I know what that is. That's nothing new.
And you're like, no, that's not it.
What we're doing. This is a whole level deeper. This is a whole nother dimension.
Because it's like, yes, Matterport and certain companies, they're showing you guys a 360 image that when you see it, you know, when you hit the dial house and you do certain things, that's the LiDAR. And you see the, like I was saying, like it looks lumpy, like, you know, that mm-hmm. wall over there smooth, but you know, it's lumpy like this. But you can still take that data and do so much more. Like, since I got the geospace of it, like I said, I can put augmented reality stuff in here. Mm-hmm. Since I got the geospace of this, I can actually take that point cloud to make a true realistic virtual tour. And he's like, okay, well, what is that? You know, because we're used to just the 360 image. No, taking the LiDAR and actually flattening it out and actually making a physical, you know, tour, you can kind of glide and walk through this whole space. Measurements, you mm-hmm. know, CAD files, BIM files, media production.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the media production is what I was thinking about because I've watched a VR channel for a long time or a VFX channel for a long time, and they started doing LiDAR 3D sets that then they were manipulating into impossible environments.
Correct. Because again, think about when somebody's in media or they're trying to record something. We got to think about the weather. We got to think about it being the perfect time. What if I capture that data? This like the sun's out right behind you. It looks great. It's a great day. What if I capture that data and then you're able to take that data and use it all the time? There's this.
Somebody calls Scorsese.
Who made The Shining? Was it
Kubrick?
There's these guys that they're doing some phenomenal stuff with this technology. They literally took an old movie production, mm-hmm. rendered it, did certain things in there, made it, put it back into LiDAR, and they remade that movie, The Shining, like an introduction on that whole movie.
I think that might have been a Super Bowl ad this year. I think I saw something about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of applications for, like, people who do make commercials for businesses.
Correct.
I mean, all of a sudden, it gives you a lot more control and also freedom to do a lot more with your spacing.
Because then again, Eric, like let's say this was a green screen behind us, I can just drop this tour into it. Mm-hmm. And now we can both be just sitting here walking around and, you know, instead of having to remake the world, we can keep it and then edit it. Mm-hmm. So even like one cool thing that I'm going to be eventually be working on is more of like historical preservation of trying to, I went to the library around here and was looking at some old images of my house and looking at how the area used to be because I'm going to start editing certain things to make it look like it was 1919 when my house was built. Mm-hmm.
So my question, when are you going to do a LiDAR scan of the Titanic wreck?
Huh. You can't go underwater. They're still doing sonar for that.
That would be cool, though.
Yeah, about what, like 6 miles to
for you? Oh, yeah, I mean, just a little bit of hurdles.
Yeah, because it's so deep and it's, you know, can't yeah. really pinch. Even like when I scant the goldfish, you'll see that when you look at the Dow House, you'll see that the water is black. It looks like, you mm-hmm. know, the effects that they used to do in movies where it looked like a vortex. Mm-hmm. The water looks like a vortex until you get to the 360 image. Then it looks, you know, because mm-hmm. it just can't penetrate that water too much. So.
Got it.
I actually had a marketing question. So everything you just told us is really interesting. It's once you explain it, it's easy to understand the difference and the magnitude and the impact that it has. How are you communicating that to people currently?
And that's the problem. See, some days I have a good day where I could come in, and I can talk to somebody like this, and I could say what it needs, and I might have enough time to explain to them to understand what they do, to explain to them why they need it. Mm-hmm. But most of the times I don't, so it's more like, how to say that's really the issue that I'm having. How to say that you need our services. That's mm-hmm. realistically the issue. And then also not to get pigeonholed into a realtor. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that, oh, this is only for real estate, mm-hmm. you know, selling real estate and commercial buildings, you know, selling. It's so much more than that. So that is realistically our issue. Mm-hmm. You know, our pitch, my elevator pitch changes because I'm trying to make sure that I fit to what the person may need. I'm actually working with a guy. He's teaching me actually a lot of, instead of doing an elevator pitch of, you know, what you do and all this other stuff, to talk about the problems we solve. You know,
Do you have case studies that articulate that? Like, those other examples. Okay, so we're in real estate and commercial real estate. Everyone kind of gets that concept. I think you mentioned earlier before we started filming that you did something with Starbucks recently.
Yeah, today I did a Starbucks. It was just a kiosk. Uh-huh. I call it an asset management program. Mm-hmm. Realistically, they like to see the functionality. You know, this is inside of a grocery store. They want to see how it's laid out, if it's flowing correctly for their customers. Also, they want us to take assets of their electrical panels, mm-hmm. HVAC units. So if they ever have any maintenance issues, they don't have to call them in.
Well, that's huge. You've got big name brands that are trusting you to do this kind of business. You got Starbucks. I think I heard Nestle earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chick-fil-A's, we've done that.
Chick-fil-A's. Yeah. Do you have those case studies up on a website?
Certain things I can't share too much about
what right.
they're doing, but yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
I'm sure. Yeah. You can't share like the videos and stuff like that of it, but definitely the case studies is the right way to go.
And that would be helpful.
And then the validation of just mentioning those brands, if you can get permission to use the logo, and if you can just mention that we've worked with Starbucks and Chick-fil-A and Nestle and all these big brands, that's huge from a validation factor. And also people seeing that there's application beyond real estate, which is a big obstacle.
One of the biggest things that y'all probably saw my social media post, but we're trying to do a program for first responders in the school systems. Mm-hmm. We all know about certain things that happens, you know, with mm-hmm. certain schools and stuff like that. And it's like, but a lot of these cops and first responders go into these buildings, breaching them blind.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if we had a program where they could understand the layout of this building. Now they can properly mm-hmm. plan on how they're going to breach that, and they're more safe, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
The military application too. All those, you know, special forces groups are training in simulated mm-hmm. warehouses. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, definitely the names lend a lot of credibility. But even just being able to be industry specific, I mean, the next time you go talk to a restaurant, you just be like, "Here's the most recent restaurant we did, and this is the issues they had. This is how we solve those for them."
I imagine that there was some kind of personal connection that led to those jobs, those projects that you got to work on. There was some kind of like, I bumped into somebody, maybe through BNI or maybe through personal networking.
Yeah. And also my background, I used to work for a developer. Like I said, I got into this because during COVID, I used to work for the P3 group, and we were building some courthouses, fire stations and police stations in West Memphis, Arkansas. And my photographer, who used to do our professional photography, he came out and said, "You should let me scan this building." Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into it. Once I saw it, it was like, you know, he was doing the after. And I saw the application being used during construction, progressive scans. That's what we call them. You know, I'm coming out different phases and I'm going to scan it every 2 weeks or something like that. I'm actually doing one at a dental facility in Blythewood right now. And I actually just did one where we scanned it every 2 weeks where they can see the progress. They don't have to come out there and see it. So most of the times my stuff, typically my background, has helped me get into some of those clients that we have because I've
built them up. So what we do in advertising, we can never replace the personal connections, the networking, right? That should be a core of what you're doing. But you know, Delanor can only be in so many places at so many times, can only speak to so many people. That's kind of where, you know, we look at it as amplification. We take that message, that voice, and we amplify it to the right audience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that reaching somebody local, you're able to do. Reaching somebody in California. Wichita, California, right? Almost at this point, impossible.
Correct.
So if,
you know, I can't go out there if I got a project, or I can't, you know, we're a growing business, you know, we're locally here to Columbia. So it's like, you know, we have to be strategic on how we're going to expand and everything. And that's why I was excited to come here, because like, you know, advice, I always have an issue with duplicating myself. That's one of the things that I liked about this technology, because when I was younger, I grew up in construction, like I said, and everybody always said, "Delano, if we have 5 more of you, we will be great." Well, this was a way, when I saw it, it's like, this is a way that I can make 5 more of me. But it's the same thing with my marketing. I need to be able to make 5 more of me for my marketing. And, you know, that's been a challenging, you know, we've been trying things and testing things out. Some things work, you know, we get a lot of views on certain stuff, but we have not gotten where I feel like I have not got to a point where somebody's like, "Oh, I need that because he's speaking to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, and I've worked with at this point hundreds, thousands of business owners, and I'd say 95%, it's the same where it's what keeps you up at night. There's somebody out there that needs my service and they don't know I exist and I'm the right solution for them. And if I could just talk to them, right, it would make so much sense. It'd be a no brainer. They would do this, but they don't know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And that's where the amplification is important.
Correct.
Because you can't clone yourself and make five Delanors.
Correct.
So then, you know, what I'm really kind of driving at here is that you need to figure out some way, either through video or through infographics or through case studies or through developing these stories, the value add, the perceived value, right? Just getting that message in front of the right people, not necessarily just shouting to the masses and getting on right. Facebook and just hitting all of Columbia or all of South Carolina or North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's more about finding those decision makers at these businesses and explaining why this is a value to them.
I think the other blessing plus curse you have is that like what you do is so applicable to so many industries and companies and applications. You almost kind of need to like narrow your focus.
Correct.
And it's like, okay, let's just focus on restaurants this month or.
Yeah. Because no, right. Perfect world. It's like Super Bowl ad. Perfect for you. 30 seconds. I need $8 million this year?
Oh yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So that's it. That's not going to happen. Unless there's something I don't know. Cause I can't do that either. I mean, it's all cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Dave said, picking those more ideal customers and those, you know, the folks that are more likely to be able to pull the trigger,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's going to be midsize and larger businesses on average. It's going to be certain verticals, certain industries that are more likely to find value here.
And also talking to the right people in that, you know, like it's not good for me just going to talk to the CEO because that person is at a higher level thinking of stuff. I need to talk to the operations manager.
Yeah.
I need to talk to the director of the museum. I need to talk to, you know, the decision maker of the business that's in charge of their marketing or whatever they're doing.
Right.
So they can see it. But most of the times where I know that I'm going out, you know, just a friend of mine's, of course, I'm taking, he's called a speed prospecting when you're going to network. Here's my card. You need my service? Here's my card. You need my service? And it's like, you know, he's taught me how to hone that back in and try to look for the ideal person in that industry.
Right.
Not just the ideal client, but the person that's in that industry.
Right.
I think, I spend a little bit of time on the website. Running through, I think there's maybe some opportunity on your website side to...
Which one did you look at? Because, you know, we just rebranded. Did you look at the Asbill 3D?
Imran.
You looking at the Imran. Okay, yes.
Was the Asbill3D.com, is that you also?
No, that. So, okay. And that's one of the reasons why we did change it too. Just
okay.
To be, yes, we did dedicate it to our daughter, but it was a funny story that it was like the day that I was going to register, because, you know, Asbill was built. Was a playoff of as built. If you're in the construction industry, it's like, hey, I built this building. I got to give you an as built because it might be some change from the. So that T was taken. So I was like, okay, build. Because, you know, I was about to register everything. I said, okay, I'm going to come back to it because I was going to look for something else. I came back to it literally almost 2 weeks later and somebody else registered and took it. I'm like, okay, well, I'll still go with, you know, asbuild3d.io, you know, because it's, you know, I like the Internet of Things and stuff like that. But it was not working. And then so like my friend, who's the godfather of our daughter, he was like, how about you use her name?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's nice.
That's really cool.
I'm sorry, but on the website, yeah, I think there's some opportunity to also direct the customer journey towards more of that content. It sounds like a lot of the projects that you've done for these big companies, these really impressive projects, you're not going to be able to share the actual product that you delivered.
Correct.
Do you have examples of your work that are kind of mocked up versions of what you would do for a million square foot? Okay, cool. So you got those to share.
And you've got some examples, I'm sure, that you can share that people would.
Yeah, some clients that we have on our own that we...
Like if you map this office, I'm going to be like, share that with the world. Go ahead.
Yeah,
we're good.
Correct.
But you can, if you have stats, if you have just the mention that you worked on a project, you don't have to give a great deal of detail if it's proprietary or if it's sensitive information. But just being able to house that information on the website, I think, mm-hmm. is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'm looking at is you've got shotgun approach and you've got rifle approach, right?
I never heard that.
Yeah. So you got the shotgun, right? It sprays out bullets everywhere.
Yes.
And that's your brand awareness. That's, I want everybody in the town to know that I'm here and know what we do. What you are selling is extremely sophisticated in a way. It's very involved. It's hard to explain quickly and succinctly. Like if we were working together, we'd probably spend a whole day trying to figure out how can we explain the value add in 5 seconds or less.
Yep. Phew,
that's going to be tough.
I would love to get there where we could say 5 seconds or less what it is.
Right.
Somebody's like, oh yeah, like yeah. That's actually a goal in our BNI. It was like, what's your goal for 2025? And I think that, you know, hit me now that is my goal. If I could figure out a way to explain that in 5 seconds or less, or, you know, time that we needed. So.
Well, and it's like I said, it's complex. We have a lot of clients that have very, very complex service offerings. And I mean, we've got several clients that have multiple kind of mini brands nested under the parent company, and they do this and that. They're up and down the value chain, and there's no way to explain the value out of the company as a whole, much less, you know, when you've got a service that's pretty, has multiple applications, different scenarios where this is valuable. But that's where I think that case study comes into place. Mm-hmm. And I think specifically targeting your message to the right person at the right company, you take a platform like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I know that person's title. I know exactly what they do, where they work. If I can get this message, mm-hmm. maybe not this message, but if I can get this message in front of them, there's a chance they start a conversation. So
I like what y'all said, because it's kind of like not trying to bring up the Super Bowl and the halftime show, but the people that are for Kendrick and the people that are against it, is like, I didn't know that I was supposed to sit here and bring out my deciphering to understand what you're trying to say. And that's how I kind of feel like I'm in that space where what I got on my website, you got to kind of decipher, and not, you know, we did our best to explain mm-hmm. it, but, you know, people want to be entertained. So I got to find a way to make this entertaining so you can understand it without me having to explain it and them having to try to decipher. Like mm-hmm. if I sat here and said, hey, you need all these services, again, would you know that I'm speaking to you? You know, that's the thing that we're trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a problem that every single business has to try to figure out, right? How do I explain everything that I do? You know, we've got a 200-page website now, and it's growing. It's like 230 now. At one point, it was a 12-page website, and 80 of them are service pages, right? We've got a service page for just about every service.
And that helps with our SEO, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a big part of it. But and ads. But at the end of the day, right, you want so bad as a business owner just to explain, here's what this can do for you, and it can do this, and it can do this, and it can do this, and it can do that. How do I get that message kind of curated? And that's segmentation. That's figuring out who's my target. This month, I'm targeting hospitals. You mentioned that earlier. Who at the hospital would be the person that can make this decision? Okay, well, there's three or four titles, you know, that I can target. LinkedIn is modern day networking. Right. And there's the amplification there on the kind of the one off side.
Mm-hmm.
I can reach out to the right people. I can send a connection request. I can send an in-mail. You get a certain amount of those. And that's your, okay, how can Delanor be in two places at once? How can I get across town, you know, five different ways today? But then there's the advertising side, which is another layer of amplification where I can automate that. I can send these messages out to this title at this type of company. I can target five states over. I don't have to waste money putting the message out there in front of people that could never hire me,
mm-hmm.
right? A technician at an automotive plant probably is not going to be the one that makes that decision.
Correct.
But there is somebody there, either the director of marketing or it's sales. I think for certain industries, the person that's in charge of sales, you'd make that sell a lot easier. And they usually have an easier time getting budget.
Even when we tell them we can make a e-commerce space, mm-hmm. like I can kind of... That's one thing, cool thing that we have is like I can merge Amazon and a virtual tour together where, hey, you know, you could walk around, see the facility, but then click on their item that pops up, add it to their cart mm-hmm. and everything. But how do I explain it to somebody and see the value of it and everything?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've tried to do or what I would like to try to do is I always talk about thinking about my customer's customer, but actually I got to think about my customer and what they do on a day-to-day basis, because mm-hmm. we, you know, again, we can't reinvent the wheel, but we got to retrain how the wheel is being done. If you have a certain way of thinking of every time I come in here, I put my coffee cup right here and I do this and I say, hey, actually you should put your coffee cup over here. How am I going to train you to rethink to put your coffee cup over there? And that's the problem that we're having is, okay, some of the clients that we do get, they'll understand and get the tour, but then they'll go back to some of their old processes and not use it for what it actually is. So it's like thinking
about adoption's big.
The adoption of it. Yes.
Yeah. And that's where the education comes back into play. What you've got to do is you've got to create these avenues for people to become educated, see these other projects and applications. I would probably have a breakdown of the, here's the different ways that people use this service. And then I would educate them. And so your website acts as a hub. And so wherever you're drawing people in from, if they can get there and you can articulate this application, this benefit of the service, and then get them there, then you're going to be... Your website turns into a salesperson for you.
Correct. And that's what I need, because again, sometimes I'll say something good and I'm like, man, I'm going to remember that. And then I go somewhere else and they're like, tell me what you do. And it's like, even just like before we started here, I had a great pitch the other day of doing something. I'm like, man, that's going to be, and I, you know, then how do I remember that? How do I say that again? How do I replicate that? You know, yes, I'm doing my digital stuff. And yes, you could go on my website and build it out a certain way that we thought we need to explain it. But it's like, we know that we need more. We know that we need to do this. You know, we got to, like I said, I got to think about the adaptation and their processes. I got to think about my customer. I got to think about all of these other things. But how do I, like, go back to the advertising to do that?
That's when it does take a lot of time and it takes a lot of, like, thinking it through. But taking it back to basics, identify your audience, identify the platform you're going to reach them on. And then you got to realize the pain points and how you solve those pain points, and do that per audience or per industry or per service. And do your best not to end up with 230 pages of. That's not true. 230 pages is still great. It's just keeping it organized.
Some of them are blogs. It's been like 6 years now.
Oh yeah, it's true. It adds up.
But what I would say too is, like, okay, you've got to get people interested. So what are you saying to articulate that pain point and show them that I understand this? There's a unique pain point in this industry. We've solved it. You've got to gain interest without coming across like everybody else and then blending into the static of every other outreach email or LinkedIn message that people get.
Right.
And then once they click, once they say yes, contact me, or once they say, you know, let me learn more about you on the website, then what are you doing to educate them, build that value up, create a perceived need, right? There's sales, as it relates to marketing, is always one of two things. It's fear of loss or hope of gain, right? Fear of loss, it has its place. I think hope of gain is a lot of times the better route to go. What do folks gain by employing your services, right? What would they gain? Time, they gain efficiency, right?
Saves them money.
Saves them money in the long run. Keeps them from having to fly people here and there because they can just give a virtual tour of the facilities, or they can help the sales team close better, right? If people are able to virtually kind of experience whatever it is they're trying to experience, whatever. You know all the applications.
You know, but this is why this is advice, because this is actually the way that y'all are saying things.
Yeah.
You know how, again, you got this wall with all these different things going in different ways, and y'all are actually putting them all in the same. That's how I feel like this is... You know, very helpful for me. So I'm just taking it all in, because, you know, the fear of gain. You said
this is what we do every day, right? So for us, it's easy.
Fear of loss and hope of gain. I need to.
Yeah, on the more transactional, high pressure sales side of things, that's where you'll see a lot of fear of loss, right? You need to do this now. If you don't do this, but the hope of gain is really the bigger. I feel like the better way to go about things, and it's the bigger picture, end up with better clients.
I like the hope of gain, too. It kind of fits in with our, you know, my daughter's name means God's with me. My wife is Angel. My dog name is Charm. So it kind of fits that whole, you know.
I love it.
Thing. And just to put a little icing on it, we're currently 32 weeks pregnant with our son on the way. So,
you know, oh, good. Congratulations.
Wonderful news.
Some good. And it's kind of fits the name, too, because he's going to be Delanor the Third. I'm Junior. Mm-hmm. So I call him 3D.
So, D3, 3D.
Yeah.
I like Delanor. It. Yeah, so. That's awesome. Well, man, it's been wonderful to get to know you, get to know your business. I hope you found some value in some of the ideas.
I've what is it again?
Fear of loss, hope of gain.
Yeah. That right there structures my mind. So
shout out to Nick Rico circa 2012. We've been using that for quite a while. Anyway, man, well, I appreciate the time. For those of you that are still tuned in, we appreciate you. Please be sure to like, share, comment, all that good stuff. We'll catch you next time. Thanks.